Well, in the second half, we'll go one-on-one with Amber Rose. She's a model, she's a rapper, she's a TV personality, and she's got a really interesting story. So we'll do that right after this.
It's time to check Adam's voicemail.
Ace, I'm in traffic right now, sitting behind a van with a sticker on it, or a magnet, that says, I love my grand dog. What the fuck is this world coming to?
You can leave us a message at 888-634-1744.
Well, we're going to find out what the fuck this world is coming to, because Amber Rose is in studio, model, actress, host, rapper, got a show coming out on BET called College Hill Celebrity Edition, and that'll be season two, but we don't have a release date for that yet, right,
like
Amber?
March.
In March. And a single out, Surprise Me, and you can find that wherever you find better music as well. So, the last time I spoke to you was backstage at Jimmy Kimmel Live. Was that where
Maybe.
I saw you last? And I think we were talking about you taking over Loveline at the time. But I never really got the full story on that. How did that work?
I don't remember. It was a long time ago. But I remember doing Loveline, but I don't remember how it came about.
Was it a syndicated radio show at the time?
It was a podcast.
Oh, it was a podcast.
Yeah.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
I did it for 10 years. I used to listen to it when I was younger, like growing up out here, because it was on K-Rock out here. But I had no idea what happened to it after I left, because I'm like, well, let someone else do it. So,
yeah, I had to leave too. It got really dark after a while.
It did?
It did, yeah. The callers, the stories got really dark for me. And I found myself like having sleepless nights.
Well, this is an interesting subject, because a lot of people are affected by a lot of things right now, I've noticed. Like a lot of people talking about their psyche and how they're feeling and how this made them feel. I'm lucky in that I don't have feelings about things. I don't get triggered.
I'm usually there with you. But I was one specific story where a woman said that her boyfriend would kind of force her to sleep with his father in front of him.
And would force what?
Her to sleep with his father.
His father. Oh, boy.
In front of him. That turned him on, and then also forced her to have sex with the family dog.
Oh. Well, that'll do it.
Yeah. So it wasn't like I wasn't triggered or like crying or anything, but it just got really – it just wasn't fun anymore.
So you grew up in South Philly, right?
Yeah.
That's where my dad's side of the family's from.
Oh, really? Okay.
Yeah. The only time I ever felt sorry for him is when I went back a few years ago and walked through South Philly. And I was like, oh, man, I feel sorry for this guy.
It's pretty,
It's bleak there, right?
Yeah. It is, to say the least. Yeah.
Bleak's a good word for South Philly.
Yeah.
And I got a little depressed, and I thought, geez, I felt bad for my dad. Like, he grew up here.
I know. Yeah.
How long were you there for?
I left probably at 18. I moved to New York. I got signed to Ford Models out of New York, so I got lucky, had a little way out. But it was pretty shitty out there in South Philly. I grew up very poor. Went to regular public school. Santa didn't come often, you know, like during Christmas and everything. So I did have love. I mean, I had love for my mom, but it was I fought a lot, fist fought girls at least every week. Not that I would ever, you know, I never had a history of violence, but it was just kind of the culture out there. Like, if somebody doesn't like you and they want to fight you, you have to fight. Like, you have no other choice.
I know. It's so... My dad would tell me these stories, even way back in his day, that he wasn't a fighter.
Mm-hmm.
He's not really a lover either. My dad's not a lover or a fighter. But
right.
He's a very meek guy, nonviolent, and he was scared shitless, and he was like explaining that he would have to go to school down this street and then hide, you know, behind a car till these guys passed, and then he'd go back on it. And I was like, imagine just being 12 and that's your world where you're hiding.
Chaotic. It's chaotic. It's very toxic growing up in that type of environment. I mean, knowing that you're in school, 3 o'clock comes around, you know that you have to either get your ass beat in the schoolyard, run home, or try to have a fair one-on-one fight. Most of the time, which is really crazy, we would go and get our moms, mm-hmm. and our moms would make sure we had a fair fight.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. So we wouldn't get jumped.
What I was kind of thinking about is when my dad, who's going to turn 92 sometime, I don't know exactly when his birthday is, but so I'm a bad son, but he's going to turn 92. So he was doing this in South Philly in the 40s, like probably the early or mid 40s. Let me just see if I can do some quick math. 40, be 60, be 82. Yeah. So it was like 1942, 1943 or something. Mm-hmm. My dad's doing this. You're doing this in the 90s.
Yes.
So what's up, South Philly?
Yeah, you had
50 years to get your shit together and you couldn't. My dad was doing this shit in 1942 and Amber Rose is doing this shit in 1994. What's up?
It's cultural. That's how Philly is. It's just how it is. I don't think it's ever going to change.
It's sad that it's 2023 though and we just can't get our shit together so that's it. It's just South Philly.
That's like, South Philly for you.
My dad was running serpentine to school hiding behind cars.
Yeah.
Amber Rose fist fighting with her mom refereeing.
Yeah. Yep.
How did 50 years later? Like what year we're actually talking about? Just 50 years, like mid 90s, early 90s?
So 94 I was in the 4th grade. I was probably fighting back then. Yeah. Well, so my niece, she lives with me now. She's 20. She just came from Philly and, it's the same thing. A whole different generation. Same
thing. Your 20-year-old niece.
Yeah.
But 8 years ago, she was duking it out.
Oh yeah.
Dawson, do the math. Try to figure out what year my dad would have been like in, 12. In South Philly. I'd like to talk to the folks that run South Philly and go, this is the 40s, this is the 90s, and then there's a 2000s version of this. Can we get our shit together or do something?
Yep.
So tell me about the moms refereeing the fights. I'm interested in this.
Yeah, so that was kind of like, again, cultural in South Philly. You were more likely to get jumped if there wasn't any supervision. So if you knew that you had to fight someone, you would get your parent. Even sometimes, like, your parent would go knock on the other parent's door and ask if their child can come out and fight you and make sure that it was a fair fight. Because what happens is that if you get stuck in the schoolyard with a bunch of kids and you fight there, you could really get hurt. But you have to fight it out.
In 1943, my dad was 12 and running scared through South Philly. Jesus Christ. So that's traumatic. You're also dealing with everyone else who's traumatized, too, because even the people throwing all the punches are also damaged goods as well, because they got beat on, and this is their coping mechanism, and it's just a big circle.
And our parents are the boomers. They, had their own shit that they were dealing with, and it just became a norm.
And so you decide you're going to try New York out and see if you can't do some modeling, but you did some stripping before that, right?
I did, yes. I was, unfortunately, me and my mom were homeless for a little bit. My neighborhood was drug dealers, strippers, and I did try to sell drugs. I wasn't very good at it. I'm a failed drug dealer. And so I tried to dance and I found it to just be easy to make money, to find a place to live. It wasn't necessarily my personality to do that. I've always been really nerdy and, I wanted to go to college. But my life just, didn't work out that way.
At 15, you had a job at a strip club?
Well, yeah, I had a fake ID. I mean, again, it wasn't anything that I wanted to do. But when you grow up in those type of areas, you know, you figure it out. And that's what I did.
Is it a... So you got a fake ID.
Mm-hmm.
You go get a job at a strip club.
Yeah.
You're working all hours, like into the night and everything?
I would try to do like day shift so people mm-hmm. wouldn't find out. Yeah, I would try to do that. Or try to do like midday so I can, you know, not be out all hours of the night.
And you're bringing the money home to your mom, although there's
yeah,
no home?
Yeah, she didn't know. No, we weren't necessary. So we were homeless. I was staying with my friend. My mom was staying with her friend. There wasn't enough room for the both of us at the same time. And I just started working and stacking my money up and then eventually got an apartment.
And where was your dad?
That is a long story. Okay, how much time we got here?
As much as you need.
So my dad was in the military, and my mom had a very tumultuous life. She had a very fucked up life. Her mother committed suicide when she was 10. And so my mom was clinically depressed most of my life, and which is why, you know, sometimes she couldn't work and we didn't have a place to live because of her childhood and what she's been through. Amongst other things she'd been through as a child. So growing up, my mother did tell me most of the time that my dad just didn't care. He just mm-hmm. did not care. I found out later in my life that he did actually care. But I think my mother was holding on to ill feelings
mm-hmm.
and kind of made me resent my father when I shouldn't have.
Mm-hmm.
When I probably could have just reached out to him and live with him, but I felt like my dad hated me my whole life. But he did not. He actually tried to give me a better life. He lived in Colorado. But I just didn't have respect for him because my mother didn't share anything great about him.
Yeah, this is a thing. It's going on. It's out there. There's a lot of it.
Yeah.
Where people feel like they've been victimized and then they were victimized, and then they sort of grafted on to people around them,
mm-hmm.
sometimes the man, and probably men do it with women as well, probably less. But then they build this construct of this evil person, and then
right.
you believe them because you're just a young person, and
right.
this is all you know. And you essentially get poisoned on your own dad.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. But me and my father are very close now. Closer than we've ever been. He's an amazing grandfather now. But yeah, unfortunately, I had a way out. I could have went to Colorado, but I just thought my dad hated me.
Colorado probably would have changed your trajectory quite a bit.
Yes. So I do hold on to resentment. I have resentment towards my mom because of that. But I do understand her childhood and her upbringing kind of made it difficult for her to make the right decision. So I don't necessarily blame her, but I love my parents. They just, they could have done better, but they didn't. So.
So you go to New York, you sign on as a model, and things start changing in your life?
Yeah. So I was dancing in New York as well, because I wasn't really making money modeling. Like that, like when you know, when you first start out, if you're not like a really famous model, you're kind of just trying to mm-hmm. make money. And so I was dancing out there, and then I got discovered when I was in the strip club to just start doing music videos.
Mm-hmm.
So I did my first music video, my second music video, and I used to wear like a long wig because I didn't want people in the neighborhood to recognize me because I had this haircut.
Yeah, the shaved head.
Yes. And so by the third video, I asked the lady, I was like, do you think I can maybe rock this haircut in the next video? She had never seen me like this before. So I sent her a picture and they flew me out to LA immediately. And that music video with Ludacris and Chris Brown changed my life. Like, that was the one where everyone was like, who is this girl with the bald head? Who is she? You know, and then people started to ask about me.
So now you're what age at that point?
Early 20s.
And so you come to LA.
Yes.
And everybody's seen the video, wants to go out with you, wants to work with you, wants
to what?
Well,
so I did the video, and then I lived in the Bronx, so I had to go back to the Bronx after the video. The video comes out, and I'm kind of like looking online, seeing the comments on YouTube and stuff, and then I start, people wanted to have interviews with me, and then after that video, I was then rediscovered by Kanye.
Mm. And what was Kanye like? I mean, I never met him. I was at a wedding with him.
A sip of root beer.
He was a big Crank Yankers fan, a show I did. So I think that somehow got hooked up with some of the guys. But I actually listened to his music a lot because my daughter would listen to it a lot when I would drive her around. And I get it. I mean, I get what he can do. And then there's the version of him now where he's saying anti-Semitic things. And then people go, he's off his meds. That's why he's saying this. But I really have no idea who he is. Do you have some insights?
I have no idea who he is either. I mean, I don't know him to be like that. You got to think, I dated him 13 years ago. So he was a very different person back then.
Was he?
He was still cocky. He was still an arrogant asshole, but he loved me and I loved him at the time. So it was, you know, I used to say, like, try to be nicer, you know. He would listen to me. He would be nicer to people. And so, yeah, he definitely wasn't as bad as he is now. But I do think, and this is no excuse for what he said at all, I do not condone anything that he said, but I think being in the entertainment business for a long time will take a toll, and it depends on how you handle it.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. They're much saner industries to be in than... Yeah, I mean, it's just got a lot of stress and competition, and they're, you know, kind of screwing people over is kind of
that's what I was
baked
say.
Into it, you know.
Yeah, like I fucking got screwed over so many times. I can imagine how many times he's been screwed over. So I mean, yeah, it is difficult.
What's a big screw over you got?
I had $250,000 stolen from me from someone that worked with me. I had my first assistant go through my laptop and leak my nude pictures to the internet.
Wow.
Probably to get money. I don't know. Just like really fucked up shit that I have to live with forever. So it has taken a toll on me. It really has mentally. Like, I'm fucking scared to trust people, you know? So I'm scared to meet new people.
Really?
Yeah.
Like have a new boyfriend or husband?
I will
or something.
Never have a boyfriend or a husband ever again. I'm very fine being alone. I will never be in another relationship ever again.
In your 30s?
Nope.
No relationships?
Absolutely not. I don't want it.
Yeah.
I'm happy.
Now. And I get it. I mean...
I don't... Like, that's the thing. I think that society tells women that we're incomplete without a significant other. And I disagree. I think that this is the happiest that I've ever been being alone and having my own schedule and doing what I want with my kids and dressing how I want and saying what I want. It's freedom. Like, I feel free and I feel happy. I don't want anyone. I don't want to check in with anyone and, you know, say, oh, I'm done the podcast now. What are you doing? Just checking in. How's your day going? I don't want to do it.
What do you do if you're not going to be the man for the rest of your life? How does sex work?
I mean, I can scroll through my phone and get sex if I want to, but I'm not big on sex either. If I don't really have feelings, I'm not going to have sex with you. It's not, it's, I know I give off like this sex pot type of girl, but I'm just not like that. I've always been in monogamous relationships. Well, I was monogamous. That's what I prefer. So if I don't get all the boxes checked, I refuse to tolerate the bullshit.
Is your mom still alive?
Yes.
And is she back in, still back in South Philly?
She's in Jersey.
And dad's still in Colorado?
Yes.
And relationships are mended in good terms with everyone?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't, I'm with you in that society thinks women need a man. I don't know if they think that because they think they need a kid and thus they need a man, or they just need a man. I don't know.
No, because once you have kids, like, what do you need a man for? Why do you have to compromise your life to have a life partner? Like, you really just, you need a man to have kids. And then once that's done and over with.
Well, maybe, I mean, I don't want to sound like old Grandpa Adam here, but I feel like women want to be with Kanye West, but they might be happier with a guy who was just a carpenter who drove a truck and was like that guy. You know what I mean?
I mean, honestly, we got together by accident. I didn't go out there thinking anything. Like, I went out there to shoot a video and we wind up hanging out and falling in love. It wasn't anything that I thought about at all. It just happened organically.
Yeah, I can't remember who.
Sorry, it's
like there's a country act. I don't know if it's Miranda Lambert or something, but she's hot. She's country. She's big. She just started dating a cop, and she seems really happy. That the guy, I don't know if the guy quit his job or whatever, but she just went with a civilian. That's just like a regular dude.
That's amazing.
And it's like just a regular dude. I think there's a version of this. There's a industry, there's a rap, there's a captain of industry where you want to be with powerful, fast moving, you know, important guys. And big picture, it just seems so hard to make it work with those dudes.
Yeah. I mean, again, I don't think that I've ever sought out anyone. I think a lot of things that just happened organically in my life.
Yes.
You're
a beautiful woman, and I guess people come to you versus guys who have to go out to them.
True.
You know,
yes,
so I
true.
Would assume there'd be more men coming into your life versus guys. Right. It's kind of interesting. I never really thought about it, but guys can kind of hang back a little and go, I want to be with that person. And then they would go try to be with that person. But women, when the man comes into their life, there's less of a vetting process, I suppose, because the guy just shows up, you know? I mean, you don't want to be with Kanye West, but if Kanye West wants to hang out, then you end up hanging out with Kanye West, right? Or you didn't seek him out.
No, we had a work relationship. I flew out to LA to shoot his music video like I had done before with other artists. So I never slept with them. I didn't date them. I just was a professional model that had a job to do, and that's what I did. But I just thought I was going to be in a music video and go back to the Bronx. I mean, I didn't think anything would happen. I definitely didn't think I was going to become famous from that. Like, I didn't have anyone to look at and be like, okay, this was her career because she dated somebody. I was, like, the first. It just happened. Like, all of a sudden, we started dating, and then paparazzi started following me when I was alone. And I was just like, I'm not famous. Stop following me. This is weird. And that's just how it happened.
It is Miranda Lambert, by the way. I watch way too much TMZ. There's no way I should know that, but it's in my head. All right, we'll take a quick break. We'll come back and we'll get into more musings with Amber Rose right after this. Well, thanks, O'Reilly Auto Parts, for joining the show in 2023. And I'll tell you, people, get down to O'Reilly and do yourself a favor. Get yourself a can of tire inflator, fix a flat style. Because many of you aren't good at changing your spares, and this will get you home off the side of the freeway. It's safe and it should be in your trunk. So get that at O'Reilly. It's O Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Shop in-store or online. Get points and rewards sent straight to your phone or your inbox. You can get 2, 3, or even 4 times the bonus points on select purchases. To get you to your next reward even faster, receive a $5 reward for every 150 O Rewards points. And if you're already an O Rewards member and not receiving the rewards, just add your email or mobile phone number and get a $10 reward just for updating your existing account. And you sign up. And it's quick and it's easy. Just go to O'ReillyAuto.com, O'ReillyAuto.com, or do it in a store. That's an O'Reilly store.
Oh, I think he liked me. You know what I like?
Surprise me.
Fly me to Punta Cana. What would you do for this punana? Yeah, I like surprises, diamonds, gifts, and trips to the islands. You know what I like?
Surprise me.
Ice me. Give me some.
That's the single Surprise Me. Amber Rose is in studio, and we're talking all about her life. One of the perks of this job is getting to talk to all different people and their crazy lives and more sort of the trajectory. Because no one really started anywhere.
Right.
That's the theme of just about any celebrity or anybody you've heard of is the beginning part of their life was nowhere.
Right.
There's different versions of nowhere, but it's basically nowhere. That seems right. to be the theme. And then you kind of wonder, well, maybe that's a theme for a reason. Like maybe the ones who started nowhere had a little more of a motor, get out. You know what I mean? Like you, whatever that energy is of growing up in South Philly and going, fuck this. Like, I got to get out of here.
Totally.
Like my kids are in La Cañada, California. They don't want to go anywhere.
Right.
They're not going, fuck this. I got to blow this taco stand. They're like, I want to stay here as long as I can hang out.
I get it.
So that energy maybe gives you the wanderlust. Like maybe it's like go to New York, then come to LA.
I mean, yeah, I lived in a terrible neighborhood in the Bronx. I was in the projects when I moved. I couldn't afford Soho. Like, you know.
Right.
So, yeah, I moved to the projects just to get out of Philly.
Which club did you dance at?
In New York?
Yeah.
Sue's Rendezvous.
Hmm.
It's closed now, but it was a really big club.
Yeah, it used to be. Where's it? Do you make the money in the champagne room or you make the money on the stage?
Yeah, so I didn't work at clubs like that because I didn't want people touching me.
Mm-hmm.
So I would just make money on stage.
You're not supposed to touch in the champagne room, but some people break the rules.
Yeah, but you also have to like give lap dances and stuff. That was never my thing. I just felt like it was, I don't know, gross. I didn't want to do it. So I made most of my money on stage.
What's the best night you had, if you can think back on it?
Probably like $6,000.
$6,000?
Yeah.
Cash?
Yes, cash. Ones, actually. Yeah, trash bags of ones.
Literally $6,000 of mostly ones.
No, all ones.
All ones.
Yeah.
No one would throw a 5-spot up there?
No, that's not really the strip club culture. You throw ones.
Sort of make it rain?
Yeah, it's fun. It's more fun.
$6,000 of $1 bills.
Yep.
And you literally pack them in a trash bag.
Yeah, that's the only way you can get them out. I mean, to count all that money at the club, you'll be there for a while. So you just take it all home, dump it out, and count it up. It's really fun. I suggest everyone try it at least
once. That would be fun to do at least on a couple occasions.
Well, yeah. I mean, especially you're in your early 20s, and it's like you know you're in a safe environment, and you're just getting just so much money, and it's like a big party with your friends, and all the girls are like cool. You know, it's fun. I loved it. It was the best time of my life.
Did you, you know, there's too much exotic pole work going on for me now. I actually get scared because the chick climbs up and then she locks her legs and then she lets her hands go and goes inverted. And I'm like, you're going to kill yourself.
Right.
This is horror. I'm in fear. Like, I'm literally, I think they're going to hurt themselves.
Yeah.
So I like a little less pole work.
Yeah, I was never a pole work kind of girl.
Yeah, you didn't need to be.
No. Mm-mm. It's not my thing.
So was there ever like, oh, the Philadelphia 76ers were in town and made it rain? Like, was there a story behind the big $6,000 night? Or $5,000 night?
Oh, well, that was in New York. That wasn't in Philly.
No, but I'm saying they're in town. Like, they're playing the Knicks. Or some version of that.
Yeah. Well, Sue's Rendezvous was mostly, like, rappers.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, probably, like, drug dealers, drug lords. Yeah. Like, guys that just, like, always had cash.
Mm.
You know?
That's the trash bag.
Right.
I don't want to sound too naive here, but how do you get the trash bag from the club back to your place?
That, you know, I am an atheist. So before I used to say like I've had angels with me. I don't know. I just would have sometimes the elevator and the projects would be broken and I would just go up 12 flights of stairs with bags of ones.
I guess it just looks like you're taking the garbage out or something.
Yeah. That's what I tried to make it look like.
So I was reading that you're talking to your 9-year-old son about sort of life and past, and people are coming up to him and talking to him about you. And I don't know how you dealt with that. I'm not sure what that situation was.
What do you mean?
Somebody, I was just talking when I was doing the sort of pre-interview thing that said you had to talk to your son about like OnlyFans and that kind of stuff, and that people would ask him questions.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. When you're in this business, even his dad has to have conversations with him about his rap lyrics, you know, you just got to be honest.
Is his dad Wiz Khalifa?
Yeah.
Okay. Just want to make sure.
Yeah. So, yeah, you just got to – I just tell him it's entertainment, and that's all it is. You know mommy, and you know who I really am, and everything else is just entertainment.
So you go to New York, you model, but not enough to make ends meet, so you got to go to the club and get some garbage bags, single dollar bills.
Yes.
And then at some point, you come out to L.A. doing the Kanye video, and is it L.A. ever since?
Kind of. I mean, we were, like, gotten... So the first week that I knew him, my aunt died, so I had to fly back to Philly, and then he called me after my aunt, after the funeral, and was like, I think you should just come back to LA and just be with me. Like, fuck it. Let's just try. And back then I was young. I didn't have any kids. And I was like, well, he's a really nice guy. You know, I don't want to go back to the Bronx. And I feel like we have a good time together. Why not? And I did. And I went back to LA, and then we were like bi-coastal for a while. And then I eventually just moved to LA, you know, by myself.
Is he kind of an inventor? Like, was he always sitting around, like, writing stuff on a napkin, going, I could design a better coffee table or a better shoe or something? Was he always there, like,
always.
In his head?
24 hours a day. Always. Yep.
Was that annoying?
I mean, I personally like people to be who they are. I never want to stop somebody from being creative. So, no, I would just do my own thing, and he would look at fabrics and shit all day. You know,
I just
want to be clear that, I mean, you know, I get that it's relevant. I get that it was like a great time in pop culture and people loved photos of us and stuff. But like, I did date him like 13 years ago. This is like before I got married and like had children. And, you know, so for me, it's like an ex-boyfriend. For everyone else, it's like Amber and Kanye, like the moment that they love. But the only time I ever talk about this is like when people ask me and I try to be like transparent, but it was so long ago and it's not like really relevant to my life now. That makes sense.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's part of the there's a problem sometimes when you like interview as an interviewer. Like it's my Monica Lewinsky theorem, which is they'll go like, you want to interview Monica Lewinsky? And you go, yeah. And then they go, can't talk about Clinton.
No, I get it.
You have to talk about her handbags.
Yeah.
And I go, okay, but it's going to be weird if it doesn't come up. So I get it.
No, I'm always down to talk about it, but it's like, you know, even me being a stripper, like I worked at McDonald's. No one cares.
What'd you do at McDonald's?
I worked the cashier. No, I was the cashier.
It was fucking fun.
You know?
Yeah. Should have got behind the grill with me.
I actually did that too briefly. But yeah, I you know what, Adam, like, and I know you're just doing your job. I completely get it. But I feel like it becomes like you were a stripper and you dated Kanye. You were a stripper and you dated Kanye. It's always every interview. And sometimes it's like, I'm so much more than that. Like that was, I haven't stripped in fucking 15, 16 years. Like it's been a long time.
Well, I'm more interested in the garbage bag full of cash aspect of the stripping than I am of the actual stripping. But
that's the part I miss the most.
But I got a hypothetical for you then, in that case. Then, and let's focus on the McDonald years.
Sure.
A little less controversial. I worked at McDonald's.
Okay.
Most successful people I've interviewed have worked at McDonald's, and they say they learned a lot.
It's a stepping stone to stardom.
Teach you how to work and teaches you what you don't want to do.
Right.
And which is important. Everyone wants to sit around and figure out what everyone wants to do. You got to figure out what you don't want to do.
Right.
Working the griddle at McDonald's for an 8-hour shift will let you know what you don't want to do. So I've gotten arguments with people. Mm-hmm. I said, look, I got a son. He's 16 and there's a McDonald's up the street. He should get a job there. Then they yell at me, no, you have money. Your son shouldn't be working at McDonald's.
I disagree.
Okay, go. Keep going.
Yeah, I disagree. I think that these kids should fucking understand what it's like to work. Just because we have money doesn't mean they get a free ride.
Jeff Bezos has worked at McDonald's. Jay Leno, Sharon Stone, all the greats.
Yep.
Pink worked at McDonald's. She should have worked at Pink's. Baby, you're going fast food. There's a place with your name on it. Oh, yeah, she's probably out in Philly.
Yeah.
But she probably struggle a little here. Paul Ryan, the politician, Andy McDowell, all the greats. All right, so you're with me in that he should work at McDonald's to get the experience of working at McDonald's and learn how to work, not simply because I have money, he should never experience that.
Right, I think they should, and I think when they turn 21, you know, if they have a great business plan or idea that you might want to invest in, then you can do that. But I think they should know what hard work looks like. Absolutely.
All right. I'm going to use you as a reference when I'm arguing with this person about my son working at McDonald's. Is it? I have a daughter as well. She would never go for this. But is it a through line? Because there's a part of me that goes, that boy should go to McDonald's and learn how to work. And then there's another part of me, it's like, oh, but my daughter shouldn't have to do that.
No gender roles. 2023. Equality. Your boy goes, your girl got to go too.
So you worked at the McDonald's in South Philly?
On South Street, actually.
Mm.
Yeah. That shit was jumping all day.
And you liked it.
And the fun part about it is that you could actually make your own concoctions of food in the back and bring it home. So I used to do like a Big Mac with like a quarter pounder meat and like add extra cheese.
A Big Mac with quarter pounder meat.
Yeah.
Double.
Yes. It was the shit.
See, we didn't have that kind of leeway at the Studio City McDonald's I worked at. I didn't get to go like a mad scientist.
Yeah.
I just got yelled at for working the grill all the time. My big fuck up is they had the toaster for the Big Mac, which had like three levels.
Right.
And I'd always have one flip the wrong way so it would toast the top of the bun instead of the bottom of the bun.
Ah, people are probably still mad at you for that.
Or maybe it's cool, like you got the Adam Carolla special, although I don't think they knew
it at the
time.
People probably still have stories like, man, this one time I went to McDonald's, they fucking burnt the top of my bread.
Yeah,
you
knew I made your Big Mac if the top of the bun was toasted and not the bottom of the bun, the shiny part, and or if you asked for no secret sauce and somebody clearly wiped the secret sauce off. That's how you knew it was an Adam Carolla special, because right. Once I got that caulking gun with the secret sauce in it, I was hitting them all so fast, and at some point I realized we got a grill order,
right,
as we used to call it. Mm-hmm. You know the lingo. And I hit the guy's bun with the caulking gun of the secret sauce. So I just end up taking something, it off. But it still got into the nooks and the crannies.
He's still traumatized.
I'm sure. So you worked at the – is this like high school age?
Yeah. Yeah. This was when I first got my working papers. It was probably like 14.
But you learned a lot.
Yes. I love McDonald's. I loved it. I had a blast. And again, it was on South Street. It's one of the busiest streets in Philly. So it was always packed. So we stayed busy and the hours would go by fast.
The show we're talking about, College Hill Celebrity Edition.
Yeah.
Explain how that works.
So basically they get, I want to say 6 celebrities. We all live in a house together. And we go to college, so we're like roommates, but we really go to college.
Oh, yeah, I've seen this. Yeah.
Yeah. It was a blast. I had such an amazing time there. Everyone there was super nice, and we got along. I shared a room with 2 other people, and it was cool. You kind of just felt like a young person again, like a teenager.
I got to tell you, as somebody who's done a few reality shows myself, and I think people generally kind of look down their nose at reality shows and they go, oh, you did this and what happened? Why are you doing Dancing with the Stars or whatever?
Did that too.
It's a total experience. You get an experience that you could just never simulate or pay for, right?
Absolutely. That was my first time doing reality TV. All these years, I've never done it. And I had a fucking blast. I want to do more.
What season did you do Dancing with the Stars?
Oh, shit. I don't remember. I don't remember. 24, maybe.
That's what computers are for. You did it how many years ago?
I honestly don't. I was like, I couldn't wait to get kicked off that show. It was so terrible.
Because it's hard work, right?
Yeah. It's like you're essentially learning a professional like level dance in a week live on TV. It was terrible. I was like, please fucking kick me off already.
Season 23, 2020. Okay. So I see on the screen. How many?
No. 2020?
That's what it says.
No. Really? No. That was pandemic.
Now, you know, I got guys working the computer in the other room, but sometimes there's typos. So maybe. But season 23... Season 21, 2016.
Oh, that, right. Okay, that makes more sense.
See, you did know.
Yeah.
Hey, how many rounds did you make it?
I made it halfway, literally. It's 6 weeks.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
But it's a bunch of work.
Oh, please. I would anybody that ever asked me about it, I'm like, don't do it. It's terrible. To be honest.
Well, it is, but you learn a lot, like, about yourself, like, because it's hard.
Yeah.
Like, it's boot campy.
I mean,
you burn some calories.
Yes.
And, you know.
And that was before my breast reduction, so they wanted me to freaking hop around and jump and shit, and, like, my boobs were hurting. And I was just like, yo, there's some things I just can't do, like the other girls. I just can't do it. And it was just like... I don't know. It was a lot.
Well, sorry.
It was uncomfortable.
Yeah, I guess, you know, dancing with big boobs would be, like, I got pretty sizable ball sack, you know,
yeah.
But it just doesn't compare.
I mean, listen, if it still bothers you down there, imagine how it feels on your chest. It's terrible.
When'd you have your reduction?
Soon after. So I maybe...
Is that what got you there or made you think about it?
Yeah. Yeah. I've been wondering... I was having like back issues and stuff. My back would go out on me constantly, even when I would just walk down the street. So they weren't like implants or anything. They were just natural. So I wanted to downsize. I'm happy I did.
I think most women who do that are probably pretty satisfied, right?
Yeah, I think so. Mm-hmm.
But it's a bigger surgery than people know.
It is. They have to cut you like down and around.
Sorry, I had to look, but you're no, your I fingers.
Mean, I mean, you know, but yeah, and then they have to cut around your nipple and stuff. It is. It's a big surgery. It is.
Do they, so Dancing with the Stars kind of wanted you to do a bunch of stuff where you're shaking your boobs and you didn't really want to do it?
No, it's like a lot of jumping and like hopping and stuff like that.
Who is your partner?
Max.
Oh. Were there sparks?
No, he was engaged. I actually dated his brother after.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Valentine.
How'd that
He's
work?
Married now. Huh?
How'd you meet his brother? Like, he'd just show
oh, his
up?
Brother was also on the show. He was a dancer as well.
Oh. Because it gets pretty intimate, I got to say. Like, when you're pressing up against someone for 4 hours a day, like, you start to have feelings or thoughts.
Well, I mean, again, Max is my partner, so, yeah. Yeah, that's Max. He was engaged. I think his wife now, she was pregnant at the time. Mm-hmm. So, but yeah, then I started dating his brother.
How's that?
It was cool.
He was very
nice. I mean, it just didn't, you know, we just dated for a little bit. It was nothing serious, but it was cool. My dad's adoptive father is Ukrainian. I actually have a Ukrainian last name.
Mm-hmm.
So I like Jewish guys. I like Ukrainian guys too. So
I think Jewish guys make the best husbands. I'm not Jewish, but
yeah,
all the Jewish guys I know turn out to be pretty good husbands.
Yeah,
I would like to tell my daughter, marry a Jewish guy. Probably statistically work out.
Yeah, I have a Jewish guy now that's trying to pursue me, but I feel bad. He's really nice, but I'm just like not mentally there yet. But I told him I'll be his friend for now.
All right. And, you know, who yeah. knows? Hang out a little.
Yeah. He's maybe. An investment banker.
Maybe feelings will bubble up to the surface at some point. You never know.
We'll see.
I would like you to find love again.
Why?
I don't know. Seemed like the right thing to say.
I know.
What?
I get it.
I don't care. I just want you to be
happy.
Whatever happy. And yes. I get that part of just sort of, I've had times when I've just been alone and just sort of content.
Right. But, yeah, that's where I'm at.
But always in the back of my mind, not totally happy because I felt like, why aren't you seeing somebody? Why aren't you with somebody? But you've been there and done that.
Well, I think society pushes us to do that. Like we're incomplete, even men and women. Like it's like, hey, Adam, get back out there, date. Like, you know, don't give up. But it's like sometimes when you're content, and that's cool. As long as you're happy, that's all that matters.
All right.
Yeah.
But, you know, if love is found with the Jewish guy and the investment banker, I'll be happy for you either way. How about that?
Thank you, Adam. I appreciate that.
The series is called College Hill Celebrity Edition. And the single, surprised me, we just heard some of that. And there's an album coming out soon, right? Or have I screwed that up?
No.
No album?
No.
All right. Screw that then. But you can get the single wherever you find music. Or maybe one of my guys said you were working on an album, but...
Yeah, I mean, yeah, I think I'm going to just... I actually have an album done, but I think I'm just going to put out singles.
Okay.
Yeah.
That is Amber Rose and Miles Fisher and Tom Graham as well. Me, West Palm Beach Improv, coming up February 16th, and then off to Baltimore, doing a bunch of shows there, 17th, 18th at Magoobie City. Just go to AdamCarolla.com for all the live shows. And this is Adam Carolla for Amber Rose saying, mahalo.
Yeah.
Make sure you get a copy of Adam's latest book, Everything Reminds Me of Something. It's available everywhere. Finer books are sold. Leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744 and get your ticket to see the Ace Man at AdamCarolla.com.
All month long on Pluto TV, stream the biggest Tyler Perry movies free. Watch your favorites like Madea's Witness Protection and Madea's Big Happy Family. Join Tyler Perry as he goes on a couples retreat with Sharon Leal in Why Did I Get Married? Or Idris Elba and Gabrielle Union in the Tyler Perry-directed film Daddy's Little Girls. Plus, Pluto TV has hundreds of channels with thousands more movies and TV shows. Available on live and on demand. Download the free Pluto TV app on all your favorite devices and start streaming now. Pluto TV. Drop in. Watch free.